Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I think that we've done a good amount of conditioning with our guys this camp. I feel like they're in shape. I feel like mentally they don't get exhausted and tired to where they make a lot of mental errors. But we're going to continue that thing going on. But the guys they came in shape, and that's why we cut the conditioning test down, and they finished it.
Joe Ostrowski, Knights on 670 The Score.
Bears training camp is now a wrap. It closed camp yesterday, the final practice that was closed to the public. And now three more preseason games, and then the season opener Thursday, September 5th, Bears and Packers. Joe Ostrowski with you on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Very pleased to have our next guest join us on the phone line. This is the most comprehensive look at the 2019 NFL season. In front of me, I have the Football Outsiders Almanac 2019. The author is Aaron Schatz, the head of Football Outsiders. He's on Twitter at @FO_ASchatz. Good evening, Aaron. Thanks for coming on.
Good evening. Thank you for having me on. And I will say I'm the editor and main statistician, but there's a whole staff of writers that puts this book together, and I do have to make sure those guys get their props.
Yeah, there was no way that you were going to get through, what is this, 474? 474 pages?
It's like 515 pages or something. So, yeah, there's no way I'm writing all of that by myself.
I warned one of my producers tonight, if he upset me, that I could give him a concussion with this book here.
It's excellent for killing mosquitoes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So you know we're going to start with the Bears, and I know you might upset some fans here. Very excited after a 12-4 season led by the defense, and, of course, Khalil Mack going into Mitchell Trubisky's third year in the NFL, second year with Matt Nagy. So what is your outlook for the Bears this season?
Yeah, so I apologize for this to all of the Bears fans, but unfortunately we are not high on the Bears this year. In fact, we have the Bears with the lowest projection in the division, although I should point out that this is the division that is by far the tightest division, where all of the teams have at least a 22% chance of winning the division in our simulation. But our average projection for the Bears is 7.9 wins.
7.9 wins. Were you guys high on the Bears a year ago?
We were not. We were not. Although, obviously, the book a year ago was written before the Mac trade. But, you know, it's rare for a defense to put it all together and play at the level that the Bears played last year. No, you're never going to predict that a defense is going to be that good. It's one of the 10 best defenses that we've ever measured in 33 years of advanced stats.
Bears postseason odds you have at 35.1%. Let's see, playoff contender, which you say is 8-10 regular season wins at 38%. Mediocrity, 5-7 wins, you have at 33%. Super Bowl contender at 18%. Let's start with the defense. I mean, we do so much Trubisky and kicker talk and also a little bit on the tight end. We'll get to that eventually, but frankly, I'm sick of it. So DVOA, I love this table that you put in here, table number one. DVOA, Bears were number one in the league last year, and you have evidence here that after you see a team perform like that, it is very difficult to back it up.
Yeah, so if you look at the last 10 teams before the Bears who led the league in our DVOA ratings defensively, they averaged ninth in the league the next year. Now, that's dragged down by a couple of teams that were particularly bad, in particular, by the way, the Bears from 2012 to 2013 when they suddenly got very old. But even still, most of the teams that were number one on defense finished somewhere from fourth to seventh the next year.
What do you think the reason is?
Offense is just more predictable than defense. I think that injuries play a larger role in defense, like other than the quarterback position. Turnovers regress towards the mean much stronger on defense, and that's a big issue for the Bears. because the Bears were by far the leaders last year with turnovers on 19.1% of their defensive drives. The other is the offense. So much is about the quarterback on offense. That one player has so much power over what the offense does that it just makes things much more predictable. To get 11 players working together on the defense is just, it's much harder to predict, Beauty.
You also have here listed the 1986 Bears, number one in DVOA, and in 1987 they went down to 11th. In addition to takeaways, something that I've talked a lot about is health. They were a very healthy team after having so many injuries during the throughout the John Fox era, and a change at defensive coordinator. Now, you brought up the takeaways. Do you think the turnover regression is more impactful than health and or the change at defensive coordinator?
It's more predictable than health. We've actually found a little bit of year-to-year correlation in health over the last few years. You know, it used to be that it didn't really correlate from year to year. The last few years it has. Now, that being said, the Bears were terrible health-wise until last year, right? Like, in our adjusted games loss stats, on offense they were 26th or lower for four straight years. On defense they were 16th 1 year, but the last 2 years they had been 30th and 32nd. Suddenly last year they were 6th on offense, 4th on defense. So, yeah, they did not struggle with a lot of injuries last year. That will tend to regress towards the mean, but not as much as the takeaways thing. They had more interceptions per drive last year, twice as many as the NFL average. It was sort of like a huge lead over any other team.
Yeah, so certainly if you're making an NFL team and you could be great at one thing in this version of the NFL, you would want to have that great quarterback, great play caller, and be great on offense, right?
Yeah, and unfortunately, certainly there's a story we can tell where it happens, right? Like, some teams, there's a story you can tell, a positive story where you can see, imagine how things take place. Other teams, it's harder. Like, it's harder to see the way that Washington is a playoff team this year, right? Mm-hmm. But with Chicago, with Matt Nagy and Trubisky, you can absolutely tell the story where Trubisky takes a leap forward in his third year. He already took a step forward in his second year. And where Nagy, you know, is one of these young play callers, and the offense takes a big leap forward. But unless they take that big leap forward, it's unlikely they're going to be a playoff team again, because the defense is likely to somewhat come back to earth and be, even if they're just fourth or fifth in the league, the difference between being an all-time great defense and, like, fourth in the league is a big difference.
Do you see the 2019 Bears as the 2018 Jaguars?
Basically, yeah. Basically, the 2019 Bears are the 2018 Jaguars with a better quarterback.
Joe Ostrowski at Sports Radio 670. The Score with Aaron Schatz, the head of Football Outsiders. So, obviously, you know, Trubisky, there's a lot of disagreement locally and even more so nationally about what he's done. And your breakdown here, and what he did from year one to year two took me back a little bit. It kind of shows that it seems like you're high on Trubisky.
Well, here is the positive is that he took a big step forward last year. The negative is that part of the way he took a big step forward was that he was excellent when he was pressured. The problem with that is that performance under pressure varies from year to year much more than performance when a quarterback is in a clean pocket. And in a clean pocket, he was not that great compared to other quarterbacks. Like, I mean, every quarterback is better in a clean pocket than they are under pressure. Now, there are reasons to believe, like, there's a reason, one reason why he was so good under pressure is that he's so good scrambling.
Yes.
And that's not going to change. But he also was a good passer under pressure, and that does tend to vary more from year to year. So you worry if he doesn't perform as well under pressure next year, like, is he ready to take the step forward in his other plays that would allow him to take a step forward overall?
Is there anything else that jumps out as a weakness?
From Trubisky? I mean,
yeah.
he's not as good at accuracy. He's just not, I mean, he's no Josh Allen, but he's just not as accurate as some other quarterbacks.
When he was drafted out of North Carolina, that was the story. Everyone was saying, including the Bears, he's so accurate, that's not going to change. He's going to be accurate in the NFL. And what we've seen so far, that is not the case. And all reports, everybody that was in Bourbon A watching this guy in practice every day, the most common theme was Trubisky had an uneven camp. He had his good days and his bad days.
Yeah, the problem with him coming out was with only 1 year as a starter, it was very difficult to tell what he was going to be. And so I think you still don't quite know what he is.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so going through your almanac here, I thought it was interesting what you wrote about David Montgomery. I didn't think that you would have a lot, but there seemed to be a strong opinion on Montgomery. Of course, here locally, he looked good, scored a touchdown in game number one in the preseason, so he's going to the Pro Bowl, all that stuff. It's Nagy's guy. They moved up in the draft to land Montgomery. What are you thinking going into his rookie season?
So he does terrible in I'm thinking of someone else. He does not do terrible in our PacCast projection. He had a poor 40-yard dash. He doesn't have a lot of speed and explosiveness. He had poor success rates at college, but he also had horrible offensive lines in college. So he's really good at breaking tackles. He had a really high broken tackles numbers. We got broken tackle numbers from our partners at Sports Info Solutions. So they're really hoping that the limited yards per carry that he had in college was related to the bad offensive line, and then in the NFL, they'll sort of unlock his potential.
The number one story, unfortunately, all season has been the kicker, and they still don't have that figured out. I don't even know if you've run studies over the years on kickers. In your own mind, is there a proper way to find a guy that can get it done?
See, I don't know how hard this is. Field goal percentage from year to year is very inconsistent. And so the funny thing is guys practice more kicks in camp. Like, you get a bigger sample size on a kicker from camp than you do from actual games, right? Because in camp he can just kick over and over and over again.
Yeah.
It's always been my theory that, you know, the thing about kickers is that there's like, they're kind of replaceable because there's like 40 guys in America who could do it. And the problem is that 38 of them are age 23 or older, so none of them play in college, which is why college kickers are so terrible, but NFL kickers are so replaceable. So the fact is, overall, you know, all indications would be that this is not something the Bears should really worry about that much, that if they will find somebody who can kick. And if, you know, the Vikings just traded for a guy, means they'll probably cut Dan Bailey. So Bailey might be available. Maybe they'll decide they want to sign him. I mean, I don't know who's winning the camp battle right now, but this is really, it really shouldn't really be one of the big worries.
Nobody's winning the camp battle, and that's the problem. So that means they don't really have a guy, so they're just waiting till the very end. I agree. I think that they're going to end, it's going to be somebody that isn't currently on the roster. Tight end has also been a big question, and Nagy comes from an offense that loves a tight end. You're going to do that when you're in Kansas City and you have a guy like Kelce. But Trey Burton, he missed a bunch of practices in a row, wasn't available in the playoff game, and if you watch that game, you could see, oh, Nagy's game plan was to involve Burton a ton. Can you win today with that being a glaring hole?
I don't think it's a glaring hole. Burton's an average tight, average NFL starting tight end, and the thing about being average is that half the guys are worse than you. So average is not a glaring. I don't think it's a
well. If he's
hole.
Not, if he's not out
if
there, the concern
there,
is that you're
hole.
Down to Shaheen.
Hey, look, man, it's the New England Patriots are about to try to win without mm-hmm. a tight end. So if Belichick thinks he can do it, then Matt Nagy should get a shot. But you know, when they have their guy healthy, it's not a big hole.
Definitely. With Aaron Schatz, head of Football Outsiders, Joe Ostrowski with you, Sports Radio 670, The Score. We always have this change. We have worst to first teams. We have teams that go from first to worst. Unfortunately for us, you're certain the Bears could be one of those teams. Are there any teams that were out on the outside looking in a year ago that you feel will be in the postseason?
There's none that we feel absolutely will be in the postseason. None of the teams that were in last place a year ago do we have projected as a postseason team. The closest, and I know this will come as a surprise, is Detroit. I personally was surprised when with what our numbers came up with for Detroit. But you have to remember that they were pretty good 2 years ago, and the teams that decline significantly do tend to rebound the following year. We like a lot of the talent that they added this offseason, and just like the Bears were really high in takeaways last year, the Lions' defense was really low in takeaways last year. And like I said before, the NFC North is the closest division in our numbers. Mm-hmm. Like, we could definitely see the Bears decline. All they would have to do is win, like, one more game than our average projection, and they could win the division at 9-7. Like, it's completely not out of the range of possibility.
So you don't have a bounce back for Jacksonville.
We have the Jacksonville defense still really good. But, no, look, Nick Foles, I appreciate what he did on the way to the Super Bowl championship 2 years ago, but if you look at his regular season performance over the last couple of years, it's a little bit below average, like especially the end of the 2000s. It's funny because he turned the switch on in the playoffs, but the end of the 2017 season, he was lousy.
Mm-hmm.
They upgraded at quarterback, but they didn't upgrade as much as people might think that they did.
Let me throw another team at you. They were not in last place, so they wouldn't qualify as worst to first. But what's your outlook on San Francisco?
I think the San Francisco offense is overrated and the San Francisco defense is underrated. So San Francisco was as extreme in a lack of turnovers last year as the Bears were extreme in having a lot of turnovers. I believe the 49ers had 2 interceptions all year, which is crazy. There's no way that happens again. But on offense, like, what have we really learned about Jimmy Garoppolo from the few games that we've seen? Like, he was so good in the 4 or 5 games that he played for the 49ers 2 years ago, but then last year he was below average in the 4 or 5 games that he played. So, I mean, we all love Shanahan's offense and what he can do with his offense, but at the same time, he's so overly dependent on running backs, and everything analytics has, like, done over the last couple of years show us that offenses that are so heavily dependent on running backs are not going to succeed in the long run as much as offenses that are much more dependent on wide receivers and tight ends.
Aaron, if you had to make an MVP bet, where would you put your money?
I mean, my money goes on the best quarterback, young quarterback, which is Patrick Mahomes. I mean, my bet would be on Patrick Mahomes repeating,
wow,
even though we don't have Kansas City as the best team in their own division.
So is the regression, the Mahomes regression, overstated by many?
Well, even if he regresses significantly, he's still going to have the best numbers of any quarterback. I mean, you can chop 10 touchdowns off his total, and he'll still lead the league. You could probably chop 15 touchdowns off his total, and he'll still lead the league.
All right, give me one of the strongest opinions that you have on the 2019 season that we have not hit on yet.
Pittsburgh is much better than people realize.
So what are you saying about the Browns?
The Browns are improved. Our numbers have the Browns' defense regressing, and there's reasons to believe that that might not happen, sort of the history of defenses after Greg Williams. Their offense is impressive. But Pittsburgh, you know, that is a team that the underlying numbers suggested were a playoff team last year, and they missed out by half a game. And, yes, they lost Antonio Brown, and that's a big loss, and I don't want to undersell how much that loss is. But they didn't lose Le'Veon Bell because they already lost Le'Veon Bell a year ago. Like, we've already seen the effect of that. They still have a strong pass rush, a lot of incoming defensive talent over the last couple of years. They still have a lot of offensive line continuity. They've got good receivers despite losing Brown. Roethlisberger is still playing well. I think Pittsburgh is still the team to beat in the AFC North.
Football Outsiders Almanac 2019 by Aaron Schatz and all the experts at Football Outsiders. Aaron, thank you so much for coming on The Score this evening.
Hey, thanks for having me on the show, and I hope people check out the book.
Yes, check it out. I will put a link on Twitter so you know exactly where to find it. My Twitter, at JoeO670. I will do that during the break. Aaron is at FO_A Schatz. So basically, his projections say that the Bears are going to be what the Jaguars were a year ago. That defense is very difficult to project from year to year, and it's more consistent with some offenses. Kind of likes Trubisky, but when he wasn't pressured, he wasn't as good, which is kind of amazing to hear. Okay, I agree with him on the Steelers. If I'm picking one team to win that division, it's not the Cleveland Browns like the rest of the free world. Give me the Steelers.
Here's the thing with the Browns, too. Number one, until the Cleveland Browns prove that they can actually win football games consistently, dude, I assume they're going to be bad. Number two, they have so many toxic players on that team. It's a powder keg. Like, either it's going to work really well or it's going to blow up.
I like that defense a lot, but are you willing to step out on a limb and say that Freddie Kitchens is a playoff head coach?
No.
I don't even know what he is. People didn't know his name a year ago outside of Hard Knocks. Yeah, I'm with you there. There's way too much Browns love. Way too much. And some people would say the same thing about the Bears. And I'm sure if I read the text line that a lot of people are not too happy right now. You want to jump in 312-644-6767. Maybe you have a reaction on that. I have an update on sports betting in Illinois. Tell you about it next. Joe Osho on the Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yesterday, he had two throws, probably his two best throws at camp that he threw that there's not many quarterbacks in this league can make that throw. He had two of them yesterday. Today, he tried to squeeze one in there right at the end of practice in between Buster and the safety, and Buster jumped up and tipped it. And the last thing I told him was that I'm glad he forced that. I'm glad that he tested it. So we can't, you know, now he knows that same angle, that the wide receiver come out of his break with a nickel DB that's at the depth he was at, he probably can't make that throw.
Bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Coach Fitz of the Big Ten West Division champions at Ryan Field this fall when they host Ohio State, Michigan State, Iowa, and more. Season and single game tickets on sale now at anusports.com. Sensitive, some of you. Oh, not used to anybody saying a negative word about the Bears. Hey, it's been a fun year. But have you forgotten what the NFL looks like, guys? Come on now. Somebody says anything other than the Bears are easily going to the playoffs or they're going to the Super Bowl, you get all upset about it? This is what the numbers say. Any football fan that pays attention to DVOA or what Football Outsiders has done over the years doesn't mean they're always right. And I asked Aaron, I said, were you guys high on the Bears in 2018? He flat out said, no, we weren't. We did not see that performance coming, but they also ran the numbers before Khalil Mack was a Bear. I mean, I'm embarrassed for some of you. I wish I could give your phone number out. Ridiculous. Grow up.
Yeah, I'm about as big as Bear fans as you're going to find. It's like, I mean, guys, come on. Like,
seriously. What are you?
Take a chill pill.
Are you 10? Like, Jesus. I don't know. I like having different opinions. You want the pom-poms out day and night for your team? Is that what you want? Well, you're coming to the wrong place if that's what you're looking for. You're not going to get it here. I like different opinions. Sure, give me a different angle. 12-4 again. Yay. Trubisky's going to be the MVP. Prove everyone wrong. You want that all day? Okay, we've seen teams built on defenses in the past come back down. It's tough to have back-to-back seasons like that. We saw it in the 80s. It's a different game now. We saw it in the Bears' Super Bowl run, what they were able to do under Lovie Smith. But, I mean, geez, come on, guys. Oh, what? Everybody's wrong. We're in the projection business in this league? Does anybody get it right? If you hit 55% against the spread picking NFL games, you're a god. That's how tough this league is. Let's not forget that. It was a great year, and I know you know exactly what I'm saying because that's why it was so deflating with Parkey. because you don't know if you're going to be you're going to have that opportunity once again. But a few of you, you're going to get blocked. I mean, this is ridiculous. What a joke. All right. I told you I have an update on sports betting. That's a half-truth. Illinois Gaming Board met for the first time last Thursday since naming the chair and completing the board, expanding the board out to five members. Here's how long they spent on sports betting in Illinois. If you were with us during that commercial break, you heard some commercials that were 60 seconds in length. Most commercials either a minute or 30 seconds. They spent 50 seconds, not even a minute. Not even one of those one-minute commercials like the Blue Chew one with Ozzy and Danny Parkins. Uh-uh. That was longer than the amount of time the Illinois Gaming Board spent on sports betting. So for the hundreds and hundreds of you that have asked me over the last few months, are we going to be able to bet on sports legally by week one? I said no all along, and it's an absolute no-doubter now. Thursday, sports betting launches in Iowa. We believe there will be legalized sports betting in Indiana for week one. Not even close in Illinois. Their next meeting is on September 5th, the day of Bears-Packers. That's their next meeting. Nothing was done, pretty much. They have a lot of work to do, and I know I'm focused on sports betting, and maybe you're listening to this because you want to hear about it, and you want to hear some positive news. Right now, I don't have any for you. It's going to be a while, is what I take away. They have a lot of work to do. Sports betting is just a small piece of the pie. There's going to be six new casinos in this state. One in Chicago. What's the location? No idea. Every existing casino, and there are 10 of them in our state, will be expanding. All three existing racetracks are going to turn into racinos, and there's a fourth racetrack going up. That will also be a racino, meaning it's going to be a casino inside as well at the track, and they're going to have sports books. You don't get that going in a matter of months. I would be pleased if this launches by the Super Bowl. It might be later than that. Here's the exciting slash dangerous news for me. The location that is being discussed for the fourth racetrack, which was put in this bill, which will be a racino, the location, the only location that's been discussed so far, at least publicly, is 3 miles from my house. This is a problem. This could be a problem. Son, I hope you want to go see the horses again, because that's where we're going. They're going to have a sports book there. Casino could be an issue. Literally 3 miles. Pass by the location most days. Oh, please happen. Please happen. So the wife is asking me, well, isn't that going to bring bad people here? Like, what bad people? You mean me never being home? Yeah, that'll happen if that's the case. We have the huge concert venue down the street. If people like Studs hanging out, doing all sorts of activities, that's a chance. Yeah, so I hope that really happens. Hope they get that done right by my house. Set it up. But if you're expecting sports books to be up by the middle of football season, I think you're going to be disappointed. It's really going to be ramped up for next football season. I think it will be there for all of baseball season. March Madness, you would think that's the latest. That's the latest. But they have a lot to do. They don't have any regulations. This is all, so much of this is brand new here. And they just put the gaming board together. So that's part of the reason it's taking so long. So don't get too upset. It's that time of the year. I made the list of all the different football pools that I've been invited to, and I'm trying to cut it down. So far, this is taking some out. So far, I'm in three different survivor pools, two NFL against the spread pools, and one college football against the spread. There will be more. I have very little self-control. I'm surprised I was able to scratch out as many as I could. So I cannot wait. Cannot wait for the NFL season. It's not just about the Bears. I mean, that's great. Even when the Bears were bad, I was getting hyped for the NFL. Everybody was. At least I think so. Sometimes they surprise me. I hear some people that aren't interested in the NFL when the Bears aren't that good. I am, no matter what. I'll be sitting there day and night, Saturday, Sunday. That's why I try to squeeze in as much family time as possible, especially over the next couple of weeks. By the way, if you missed the announcement last week, Radio.com Sports, if you're into the sports betting thing, you better you bet to show weeknights 5 to 9 when the Cubs and Bulls are playing. I'm going to be on there. So the plan is probably twice a week that I'll be on there. It launches on Monday, and I cannot wait for that to get started. Bottom of the hour also brought to you by Prestige Exotics. If you are planning a business trip, a wedding, or looking for the perfect ride for your child to arrive in style for homecoming, visit PrestigeExotics.com to rent your dream car. That's PrestigeExotics.com. I want to follow up on something that I mentioned at the very end of a show a couple weeks ago. I need to follow up. Got a lot of reaction. People reaching out to me via social media, got some texts. I had no idea that there were so many that felt strongly about this. So I mentioned it, it was like a Friday, very last couple minutes of the show. I asked the question, is it possible to wear AirPods and not look like a complete tool? And I asked the same question on Twitter. And I had no idea that AirPod Twitter had so many strong opinions about this. Everyone that I heard from was either 100% you can't wear those and not look like just a complete jerk or that you're better than everyone else. And some said, you know what, I hear you. I felt the same way until I tried them. And I asked the question because I ordered them. I didn't have them yet. And I was asking because I wasn't calling everybody that wears them a tool. I was wondering if I could wear them and get away with it without people judging me in the store or at the gym or wherever. After one day of wearing these things, my opinion completely changed. They are awesome. First off, it comes in a small case that charges at all times. It charges your AirPods. Now, the battery runs out quick, but that's okay. After you wear them for a while, you put them in there, boom, and they charge so quick. In a matter of 5 minutes, you'll get half the damn thing charged. If somebody's talking to you and you pull out an AirPod, the second you pull it out of your ear, say you're listening to a podcast or a song, it stops the music, stops the podcast. And then you put it back in your ear, and then it picks up where it left off. You can do phone calls on it. If you want the next song, say you're listening to Pandora, whatever you're listening to, you just tap it and it goes to the next song. Perb, I think you were on board with me that night and you said, yeah, you can't, you just end up looking like a tool if you have AirPods on. I don't care what I look like. These are one of the greatest inventions that I've ever seen.
I mean, can't you just have wired headphones?
I had those, but now I don't have to deal with the strap in the back or the long wire to my phone. It's awesome.
The music turning off when you pull them out of your ear feels like witchcraft, and I want nothing to do with it.
So, yeah, I know. I'm like, wait a second. Where's the sensors
Yeah, how does that work? Like, how does it know?
If you've had wireless ones before, on the band, you have to press a button usually for a few seconds for it to connect. You put it in your ear. As soon as you put it in your ear, it makes a beeping noise and it connects with your phone immediately. It's awesome.
No, this is getting too close to it the robot. Technology is going to take over. This is too much.
I know. And Jay Zawoski agreed with me. They are expensive. I get it. They are worth it. Jay said that he won them at some raffle or something. He put in $10 or something, and he won AirPods. He said he loves them too. They are great. If you think of it this way, somebody put it this way to me, and it made a lot of sense. That all they are is the iPhone headphones without the cord. So they just cut the cord, basically. Think of it that way. 773, everyone looks like they're wearing hearing aids. 630, AirPods are ridiculous looking. I know. I was one of those guys. I'm with you. 708, I was so skeptical about getting the pods from a few years ago. I wore them. It's the best investment ever. Yes. I haven't run into a person that has said, I got them and I'm disappointed. So that's the thing. So I understand it. I was that guy. But after trying them, like, yeah, these are awesome. Just so good.
So my follow-up question here, if I could, is how water resistant are they? Because I run a lot.
Okay,
sweat gets everywhere.
I'm glad you.
So are they like? Can you work out with them and they're not going to get ruined?
Okay. So today, I dropped them in the toilet. The whole case, AirPods in the case, freaking out. I'm running in there. I'm like throwing my hand in there. Thankfully, it was right after I flushed. They were fine. Nothing was wrong with them. So I would say, well, they're pretty water resistant. It's my guess. It's my experience. I dropped them in the toilet and they sat in there for a few seconds. I thought it lost them. Oh man. So good. But yeah, they are great. They are. Some people agreeing, some people disagreeing with the text line. And by the way, I do want to be fair here. And it was just a few people that were being ridiculous with their reaction after the Aaron Schatz interview. A lot of people reaching out and saying that was very interesting and they loved the interview, even though Football Outsiders is down a little bit on the 2019 Bears. So thank you for everybody reaching out. I don't want to just point out those that are just being complete jerks. Anytime we can have somebody that brings something a little bit different, something that we haven't heard elsewhere, we're going to try and do that here on the evening show. 312-644-6767. Take a quick break. And I know David Schuster's on tonight from 10 p.m. to midnight. Hopefully we can chat with him for a few minutes. Joe Ostrowski with you on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Here's Bryant. Struck out his first two times up. Then a laser to center field for a single in the sixth inning. And it's in the air to left field, and the Cubs have taken the lead. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Tom Brenneman on the call for the Cincinnati Reds. You've got Sports Radio 670, The Score. Joe Ostrowski with you. David Schuster coming up at 10 o'clock. He joins me in the culinary kitchen. David, I'm the exception, I think, of sports fans in this city. I really like Tom Brenneman.
Oh, I like him a lot, too. I mean, I'm friends with him.
You probably know him.
I've known him for a long time. He's been very nice to me. I've known him not only in baseball. I actually knew him. He did some football games, too.
Yes.
You know, and he still did some Bears games. You know, so I saw him on the road in Detroit and some other places. I like Tom. I like his father also. But I got to admit, that was funny.
It was hilarious. But here's my thing. I actually have an opinion on what I think is going on. Marty might be in on it too, but Tom knows that that's going to get played in Chicago, and Cubs fans are going to get upset sometimes when he rips the Cubs, and then he knows that they're going to laugh at him days like yesterday. I think the whole thing is just a big bit, and he's carrying it on from his dad, obviously has disdain for the Cubs. I think he absolutely loves it that Cubs fans hate him so much. And he was really good when he was here as a Cubs broadcaster.
Sure he was. Well, you know, the Reds come here one more time, so we will ask him point blank.
Marty's last time, right?
That will be Marty's last time. Marty's great. I did an interview with him the first time. He wasn't here the second time. He, you know, I guess he, you know, at the end of his career, he can take certain road trips off. So he took the second one into Wrigley Field off. But he was here the first time, you know, and he's still a vital young man. Well, I shouldn't say young, but he's still vital.
I see him on MLB Network, and I'm amazed. I'm like, wow, he's sharp as a tack.
He really is sharp. You know, so he could go on and on and on, but I think he told his... Now, I think it's his third wife. and he says that she's like 30 years younger than him. And I said, God bless you. So he goes, I have to be sharp and I have to be active because she's 30 years younger. So he's got it all planned out. I love Marty Brenneman.
Good,
he's fun.
Good for him. And yeah. I'm up for any rivalry. There are a bunch of rivalries going on in the NL Central. To keep that Reds-Cubs one going, there's a Cubs-Pirates. Pirates with everybody, too. Cubs-Brewers... And, of course, the Cardinals, you can't forget them. It feels like every team in the division is a rival.
And Joe Maddon's got his own rivalries with certain managers. I mean, obviously, yeah. You know, he had the thing with Clint Hurdle where earlier in the season. And then I recently did an interview away from the masses the other day talking about Joe Maddon's minor league career and, you know, both managing and playing. He told me as a player that he actually almost had a run-in with Clint Hurdle back then when they were both players. Now, Clint Hurdle had a decent career. I mean, he went on to be a pretty good ball player. Joe Maddon obviously never made it past a ball. So I don't know if it stems all the way back to when they were both in single A 150 years ago or whatever it was, but it was interesting hearing that from him then.
And I didn't even get a chance to address this tonight, but one of the bigger stories going on locally is what Joe Maddon told the media in Cincinnati.
That's what we're going to talk about here.
Okay, good. Over the weekend. And I don't know how you feel about this. Outside of a World Series appearance, this seems like the end of the line for Joe Maddon. But as a manager, I think he's had a terrific season. And they'll have their reasoning. And they'll probably thank Joe at the end of the season for his great career, going down as the best manager in Cubs history. But I don't know what they're going to try and sell, because 2019, if it doesn't result in a World Series appearance, I put very little of that on Maddon.
Oh, I put it mostly on Theo Epstein, and he's tried to make up for it at the deadline. I've given him some credit at the deadline for adding some pieces. It started with Kimbrel. I mean, Nick Castellanos has been fantastic. You know, they've gotten a couple of relief pitchers. He, at least, as a GM/president, made some moves. The Cardinals and the Brewers did nothing, almost nothing at the deadline. So I give him some credit, but I have been critical of Theo Epstein up until then, and even still now, because they still don't have a leadoff hitter, in my opinion, anywhere on their roster, and they're still deficient in some other areas as well. There's still no team speed anywhere.
Do they have a second baseman? I don't know. Maybe Hap. Maybe.
Well, they have a basketball team roster full of second basemen. You know, it just depends on who you want to. I mean, they got five or six second basemen on their roster, and, you know, we're not even talking about Addison Russell either. So it was an imperfect roster going into the season, and Joe Maddon has done a pretty decent job. I mean, the bullpen was in shambles even before all the injuries, and then certainly the injuries made it that much worse.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, and it did feel. Part of me felt that all of those moves at the deadline, I think they obviously made the team better, but in some sick way, it feels like he made all those moves so he could say, hey, we gave you all the pieces to win. Unfortunately, he doesn't have a bullpen with all the injuries happening at exactly the same time. David, you'll be hanging out for the next 2 hours here on The Score. What do you have planned?
Well, we're going to talk baseball with Bruce Levine. We'll start that off at the top of the hour. We're going to talk some football with Mark Grody Sports on Twitter. So
only sports thoughts.
Yeah, we'll talk. No, actually, there was much more than I'll just tease everybody since we recorded the interview already. So we'll play that in the 11 o'clock hour. And there was definitely more. We got into the sunglasses thing also.
Oh, yes. Even our boss, Mitch, was taking shots at him on Twitter for the cheap sunglasses.
Yeah, but he gave him the publicity. He never gives me any publicity about anything.
So you would be for him ripping you publicly?
Well, not ripping. Well, he rips me in private. No.
Well, right, public. You want that?
What the heck? I'm used to it.
Yeah, why not? Everybody's a punching bag. It's the business we're in.
Right.
All right, David, I'll be listening on the drive home. I want to thank Aaron Schott for coming on the show. Bears fans got very upset with him. Our producers tonight, Herb Lawrence, Adam Studzinski. Missed any of the show? It'll be in podcast form this evening on 670thescore.com. And I'll tweet those links out at Joe0670. On updates Wednesday and Thursday, but I will be back on the air co-hosting with Connor McKnight on Friday at 9 a.m., so make sure you listen. David Schuster next on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Boo this man!
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.